Well, this morning, I want to just share briefly again, kind of a continuation of what I started on last Sunday. Last Sunday, I had entitled my sermon, Making Preparations. And as you see, strength for the journey is what we want to look at this morning, briefly. All right. Last week, I talked about making preparations and how when someone gets ready to get married, when someone gets ready to do a big job, when somebody gets ready to start a project, move from one location to the other, most times, most people will make a list. When we moved Rick the other week, he even had a list, but he even had a list, and then we actually did some things that weren't on the list, so he went ahead and wrote it on the list and then crossed it out so he could cross it off of his list, because that is a good feeling. I've done that already. But when you plan for something, whether it's moving, whether it's getting married, whether it's going to Cambodia, you know that there is a crunch time. There is a time when there will be no more time to get ready. And whatever those things are that come in our life that we plan for, we all know basically what we need to do up to that point. And when it gets close to that point, there's things that we will even say, well, I ain't got time to do that until it's time for the deadline. So we discard the things that are less important to worry about because there's not time to do them. I mentioned also, you remember that each one of us has a death sentence on our life, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But we are going to die someday unless the Lord comes back before that happens. We just don't know when. It could be tomorrow that one of us is taken. It could be next week, next month. The Lord could come back and take us all. And that would also be a great and glorious time. But the point was we make preparations in our life, doing earthly things, but so often we lack making preparations for the greatest event that will ever happen, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. Paul Tripp said, "You don't have to fret over your weaknesses because God's grace is made perfect in your weakness." Again, you don't have to fret over your weaknesses because God's grace is made perfect in your weakness. Then he goes on to say, be afraid of your delusions of strength. Don't have to be afraid of your weakness, but what you need to be afraid of is how strong you are. And brothers and sisters, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. We have no strength of our own except what we allow Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to come in and to move through us. And only as we're covered by his power and his strength of the Holy Spirit is how we can even get out and function. And so as we think of strength for the journey, Mike alluded to it this morning about the world around. It's terrible, terrible dark looking out there as far as the culture and the climate of world news and events. And I don't know how you make it if you're not a Christian in this world today. Those people that are not believers, how do they make it? What is their, why wouldn't they just commit suicide and hope that it's going to get better, which it wouldn't? But there's no hope out there. And we, as the world gets darker, we as God's people can have that one candle that's burning, and that one candlelight in a dark cave is really bright. When that cave is so pitch black that you can't, I mean, you can just, you know, you've been in the dark where you can feel it, and you light one little candle, and it makes a tremendous light. That's the good news for us today, that as the world gets darker, the light that we have will become brighter in the fact just that it's light. I want to read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, just the first part of verse 5. And again, as we go through this message, I want you to see, after we get done, to hope you understand where our strength lies and where we're going to gain the stamina and the courage that we need. Okay? You think that's really simple, and it is, but so often we miss it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. We're stopping right there. Next time we'll talk about some of these other things of what you're going to add to. We will not have time to cover that this morning. Going back, again, this is probably a passage that maybe, how many of you have memorized this in school? Would this be one that's been, of course it was in King James, so it looks a little bit different. But it's a very familiar passage, at the very least. Those are sometimes the ones that get by us, because we just read it and we know it. And we don't think about what it says. Well, let's dissect these verses just a little bit. He says, Simon Peter, so it was Peter writing this. He says, to those who through the righteousness of Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So having received means that they would have accepted, they would have repented, they would have accepted Christ's forgiveness. If that's you this morning, if that's you this morning, if that's you this morning that has accepted Christ's forgiveness in your life and you've repented of your sins, He's talking to you. If you haven't, He's not talking to you. But it says, through the righteousness of God. So it's nothing of our own. Remember, I've said before there in Isaiah, I think it's either chapter 6 or 9, where it says, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, here it's God's righteousness. The righteousness of God. It's singular. It's just, His righteousness is singular. And it's enough to give us what we need. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This verse is so powerful. But yet we just read it and it's like, we're all looking for that grace and for that peace that God gives us. I looked in a secular dictionary, the definition for grace says it's a manifestation of favor, especially by a superior. Hello, of course it is by a superior. It's by God Himself. Or it's favor or goodwill is another definition for the word grace. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God. I'm not going to ask you, but every one of you would raise your hand if I would ask you if you want grace and peace in your life. And you'd say, yes. Do you want grace and peace in your life in abundance? And you would say, yes. You're not going to get it except you figure out what the through our knowledge means. You might have grace and peace as a believer, But I will guarantee you, you will not have it in abundance if you do not figure out what it means when he says, through the knowledge of God. Verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Again, we love that verse. We just love it. It's like, oh, it's so great to serve God, and it's so great to have his power and just to know that he's going to be there for me. Oh, the Bible says it. But it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Isn't that great? That is wonderful. That is great. But again, he says, through your knowledge. So we can say that if we don't figure out what this knowledge is and how to acquire this knowledge, then his divine power will not give us everything we need for life and for godliness. Philippians 4:13 is one we often quote, talks about, I can do all things through Christ. But look in that verse. That verse will not lend you power except that you follow through with everything it says there before that verse and in that verse. We love these one verse scriptures that we claim for our own, but then in the dark of the night, we're like, you know, I really do claim this, but it's not working. It's like, why is God not showing himself? Where is God? Could it be because you're not applying what he's saying, you need to do this in order to get this? And again, doesn't mean you're not a believer. Does not mean that you're not a Christian. But I do believe it means that we are very powerless, or a lot more powerless than what we need to be, if we understand what it means of this knowledge that he's talking about. So what is this knowledge? Can it be studying his word? Do you think that Satan probably knows that if you read scripture, that that's dangerous for him? Because he's not going to have near the effect on you that he could if you don't read God's word? Absolutely. Why do you think it's so difficult for you to take that time? Why do you, and we feel guilty because it's like, I want to, but it's just this and this comes in the way and life happens. Satan knows that. But if we can just take and make time, whatever we need to do, make time to attain that knowledge, to drench ourselves in his word. We even think sometimes we read it and we're not understanding what we're reading. That's okay, but just read it. Just read it. Get it in you. Get it in the system. Get the medication in you. God can even do a work in that. But that's what's going to give us that strength and that power. Another way that we can gain knowledge is watching people who are exercising that power. That could be a way. Who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are drenched in God's word. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's okay for us to do that, to follow other people as they follow Christ. But somehow we have to attain and to keep gaining this knowledge of who God is. Well, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Then verse 4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Well, this verse 4 really can be confusing, because it's like, as I read it and studied it, it's like, what is he trying to say here? Verse 4 says, through these. Through what these? Through these, I believe he's talking about, the through these means through his glory and His goodness, because of His glory and His goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Why? These 800 plus promises that are in Scripture, it says He has given us these. Why? It says, so that through them, see that? It says, through them what? Through those great and precious promises that He has given you, you might participate in what? In His divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desires. So because of His glory and because of His goodness, He has given us great and precious promises. And because He has given us great and precious promises, and we read them and we study them in His Word, thereby gaining knowledge, through them, through these great and precious promises that we claim and we can hang on to, it says, we participate in that divine nature, meaning that God is within us. Brothers and sisters, as God's people, as His children, we have the privilege to not participate in all the ungodliness and the wickedness that's in the world around us. And young people especially, don't allow the world to infiltrate your thoughts and your life by them saying and telling you that, oh, just have a little bit of fun. And even for us older people, people say, oh, I just don't know if I could live like that. Just as if you're a Christian, there's just some. The very people that are telling you that are going out and hanging themselves. They're going out and divorcing their wife and marrying another one and divorcing that one and marrying another one. They're going out and getting drunk at night and throwing up the next morning sick as a dog. And it's like, whoo, what a life. Is Satan perverse and perverted in what he makes us think is really great? Absolutely. We have the privilege, brothers and sisters, to wake up in the morning and not to have to throw up because we're drunk as a skunk last night. We have the privilege of waking up with a clear conscience because we didn't sleep around with someone else that wasn't our wife or our husband. Because we have that divine power to overcome that evil desire that's in the world created by lust. Perversion. It's Satan's idea of what is fulfillment, but it will leave you empty and it will leave you dry. We have that privilege by claiming His divine, His promises, those 800 of them. By that, we have the privilege then of having His nature within us. We have the privilege of having that grace and that peace be multiplied, to have it an abundance in my life. People are going to look at you and they can't make a lick of sense out of why you're always smiling. Because the way you're living, to them it doesn't seem like it would make you smile. Doesn't mean that we're always just frivolous, but it does mean that there is a peace and a deep settled happiness within us. Not because even of the circumstances around us, but it's because of Jesus Christ and that peace that He gives us. Verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Verse 5 says, for this very reason. This very reason. What very reason? This reason is divine nature that we are able to participate in because we've believed in Him and we're acquiring and gaining this knowledge of who he is. Therefore, we have the ability to escape all the corruption that is in the world by ungodliness. So he says, because of that, make every effort to add to your faith. Are we talking about a works-based salvation now? Like, good lands, I thought we were salvation by grace through faith and a discussion. We are. Very interesting note. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he goes on, and we're not going to go into those others. If that word faith would not be in there, and you'd have all those other words in there, and we'll talk about that next time. But this faith is paramount. This faith is something that has to be first. It is what is the cornerstone. And it's not faith in just whatever God you want to believe in, but it is faith in the finished work of Calvary that Christ did for us by God sending him down. The simple message of salvation, as we accept it and as we believe it and as we live it, that is faith. Because of this faith that you have, because of the divine nature that faith puts within you, that's why you're going to do some of these other things that are continue to make you strong and to help you grow. In closing, Titus 2, verses 11 through 15, just quickly. Verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What is that behind that word, men? What's that little thing on the back of the word men? Anybody? A period. Look at the next verse. The grace of God has appeared, and now it says it teaches us. Who is the us? Evidently, it must be the all of the people in the world that this grace of God has appeared to. I don't think so. It says it teaches us, and I believe he's talking about those of us, as I mentioned earlier, are redeemed. Those of us who have repented, those of us who have accepted Christ's forgiveness. His grace has appeared to all men, to every man. It's available for everyone. It's not just available to a select few. It's available to everyone. But between verse 11 and verse 12, something's got to change. It teaches us to say, the grace of God teaches us that are believers to say, no! You know, as simple as a word that is, I mean, it's two letters, N-O. Do you realize how hard it is for people to say that word? When it comes, young people, it's hard for you. When there's people that you're around and they're doing thus and thus and you know it's wrong. You know that God will not be pleased. To say, no! N-O! Very simple word. But that's hard to do. But the grace of God that appears and that we have accepted, it teaches us. It's like, how hard is that? How simple is that? To just say no. But it is because of that indwelling. And as we gain that knowledge of who he is, by reading his word, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. Does anyone like to be around someone who is not self-controlled in any different area of their life, people like that are a pain to hang out with. Interest note here again. The Bible so often doesn't just tell us what not to do. It doesn't just say, say no to ungodliness. Say no to worldly passions. Don't do it. No. It does say that. But it also tells us what to do. And that is to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. In this present age. Even now, in this present dark age when there's no hope in the world around us because it's so dark. Well, I can't have any fun then. If you consider throwing up in the morning after you're drunk at night, fun, I guess you're right. But to live self-controlled lives and to not allow ourselves to be pushed in and to be pressured by ungodly people to do us and to intimidate us. But that we live self, we know who we are in Christ. And so therefore we are self-controlled. And we are committed prior to even meeting anyone in the course of a day that we're going to live upright and godly lives. Even in this world. While we wait for the blessed hope, verse 13, while we wait, it would be, this waiting would have the idea, I believe, of while we wait is as we go, as we live our life, being an influence, an example of who Christ is. Waiting for what blessed hope? It says, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So again, he gave himself for us to purify us or to redeem us from wickedness. So again, putting off and then putting on by purifying ourselves because of the power and the strength that we have within us. We won't turn to that. But in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 14, if you get a chance, read it. You get a chance, but read it. It talks about the day and age that we're living right now. More and more people are going to tell you that you are crazy to live the life you do. It's foolishness. It's ludicrous. But way back when, it was already said that in the last days, scoffers will come and they will scorn you. They will mock you for you living upright and godly lives. But I challenge you to not be intimidated by those people, but to just stop and stand back, as it were, and watch their life and see how much fun they're having. And be sure to watch them the next morning when they get up too. Because their lives are not pretty. It's a wreck. It's shambles. But yet Satan will try to make it look like it's such a glamorous life. Through our knowledge of who God is, I challenge you, read his word. And you know, I face it myself. Like, I don't feel like it today. Maybe I'm discouraged. Maybe I'm just depressed about something. Read it anyway. Read his word. Get it in you. You need it. I need it. Strength for the journey. Do you want strength? Do you want that stamina? Get in his word and stay in his word. And then also tell others and encourage others. And that will continue to build and grow and give you strength. And we're going to continue on then and talk about all these other attributes that we can gain as we live out who Christ is in our lives. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you that you have chosen us to be your very own. And God, that you are preparing us a place to live with you eternally. God, would you give us strength for the journey as we avail ourselves to your word? God, would you put those scriptures in front of us? Remind us of those that you want us to look up and to claim, those promises you want us to claim. God, help us to be diligent and to be faithful in serving you in order that Satan would not gain any advantage over us. I ask your blessing and your protection upon each one. As we leave from here, would you guide us, Father? Help us to honor you with our lives, the way we walk and the way we talk. Keep us in your care. And again, I pray for Stephanie. Would you just give her special grace as she makes her final preparations to move, to leave, and to go into a total different culture. Give her that strength and that grace that she needs. And as she goes, that she can know that we're back home, we're standing with her, and we're praying for her, we're supporting her. Thank you again, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit as it works and moves in our lives. And dismiss us from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.